everyone. Welcome back to Dad Space, you know, the podcast for dads by dads. And today we got Brian on. We're going to be talking about his dad journey. We're going to be talking about an amazing charity that him and his family are pulling together to help people, a new podcast that's coming. And Brian was on my How to Podcast series. So we're going to tag that up here so you can hear that conversation as well. I'm excited to have Brian on the show as a dad. And we're going to learn a lot from Brian and his journey. Brian, welcome to Dad Space.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Yeah, I'm excited. Being a dad is the coolest job I've ever had. And I enjoy talking about it and sharing just my journey and experience with it. So I'm excited to see where this goes.
And a little behind the scenes for people listening at home or at the gym, wherever you are. Brian and I already just recorded the How to Podcast series episode like moments ago. And now we're on doing this one. Talk about a trooper to be able to do two in a row. So excited to have you back on, Brian, and to have you on my screen. It's great to chat all things dad. This is kind of shifting gears.
I love it. And like you said, being on the How to Podcast and getting to talk about at the table and just how things are going there. And a lot of that space revolves around parenting and family. So to be able to shift gears and then go into just full dad mode, it'll be fun. I'm excited.
So your podcast At the Table is coming soon as part at the time of recording our episode today.
Yeah.
We'll have links to that as well. You also have a charity as well. Can you talk a little bit about that off the top?
Yeah. So We Love HTX was founded this year, January of 2023. And we serve and the vision is to empower families and strengthen communities. So whether it's coming out of incarceration and trying to assimilate back into the family, or just long-term or short-term joblessness and trying to figure out how to acquire long-term employment, we just seek to try and find a way to mentor and coach and work through that process with families and people and individuals. And the hope is to grow the capacity to be able to do a little bit more in that space too. And as a former teacher, I have a passion for kids and for students who struggle with the whole, what do I do after high school and how do I work into this world and things like that. So trying to help in that realm as well, because I know that maybe university or four-year college isn't for everybody. So just trying to work on what that looks like and how do we build the village and a community around us that can support us and walk through that together without falling apart from the family unit standpoint. So yeah, like I said, We Love HTX. Go check us out at welovehtx.com. There's a video and I kind of talk and get into how we started and how I went from teaching full time last year to jumping into this 100%. And it's a lot of it has to do with me being a dad and wanting to build a legacy and start a legacy for my family and my kids and show them that you don't have to go the traditional route, but you can truly have a dream and follow it and do what you want to do and create something for yourself that's a little bit more non-traditional than what we were doing before. So it's been an amazing year, an amazing journey, and it's created the space for me to be a better dad and a healthier person and a better husband along the way. So I'm excited to see where it goes and how things continue to work for us.
Awesome. As I record these episodes, Brian, I'm always thinking about the listener and the viewer that's watching or listening along as we talk. And I feel a gentle nudge, a tap on my shoulder saying, Dave, can you please ask Brian about the jersey that's hanging behind him on the wall? Because he hasn't talked about it yet. And I'm a huge football fan. And Dave, can you please ask him about that? I know it's not dad space specifically related, but I need to know about the football jersey hanging behind him. Can you just let that listener know what's going on behind you?
There is a jersey behind me, as well as an Oregon O. It's one of my jerseys from my time at the University of Oregon. I was fortunate enough to be able to walk on and play football at the University of Oregon. Hard for me to realize and reconcile with, but my time ended there 10 years ago. So that was, I took a trip back recently for a reunion. And as I was literally like on my way back to Oregon, flying back, I got like a Facebook reminder of like a member there. They share like the memories. And it was a, this post was 10 years ago. And it was a picture of me standing on the sideline as a player, and that a friend of mine or something had tagged me in, that they came to watch me play or something my senior year. And I was like, no, there's no way that was 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
No. And I, sure enough, I thought, wait, yeah, no, my last season was 2013. So it was a little bit of a 10-year reunion for me to go back and participate in some of those alumni events. And, but yeah, so that is part of my journey. Being an athlete and specifically a football player is a big part of who I was growing up. And it's something that I've struggled with, like identity wise through teenage and adult years early on, but recently have kind of figured out how to reconcile some of those things and those relationships and my relationship to my own career and how it ended, and just some things that didn't go the way that I necessarily wanted them to. But looking back on it now, I was in a place where I learned a lot, and I wouldn't change those experiences, because I'm a firm believer that nothing's wasted, and those things got me to where I am today. And when it comes to bringing it back to the dad space, there's a lot of things that I learned on the field and in the film room and from coaches and other players that have made me a better dad. And I would say that I'm a better dad and a better husband because of my time at the University of Oregon and just my time on the field in general. I still love the game. My boys are doing some good things this year. Once a duck, always a duck. And it's fun to talk about and to kind of reminisce some of those things, but it's definitely it's been a while, and it's definitely just a part of me now. It's not everything, which is
cool. I love it. Yeah, again, because I know that I'm going to be asked, Dave, why did you not ask him about your jersey? Like, come on, man. Like, we're football fans, and you didn't even acknowledge that.
Yeah,
it's like the big elephant in the room is like, yeah, it's right there. But yeah, anyway, so it's great. I'm glad to acknowledge that as well. And it's exciting for us to have you on the show. Dad stuff. The whole reason behind this podcast is I want to encourage men on their dad journey. You mentioned to me that somebody in your community is about to have a child, and that's exciting for them. And I would love to, let's take a moment, and maybe they'll listen to this episode. Can we just kind of bounce back and forth on maybe some dad advice for a brand new dad who's about to go to the hospital for the first time?
Oh, gosh.
Because one thing that really caught me, I wasn't prepared for this, was the first time the doctor looked at me in that moment and said, congratulations, dad.
Yeah.
No one had ever called me that before to that point.
Yeah.
And that's a stranger, this doctor I really don't know. My family's outside in the hallway, but that's the first time somebody acknowledged my dadness in that moment. Yeah. And I lost it, because I'd never been told that before.
Yeah.
And to that point, before I was married, I was all about me and taking care of my own needs and being my own person. Then you get married, you have a partner, you have a spouse, and now it's all about them.
For sure.
For the most part. And now it's another piece of you never knew existed.
Yeah.
In that moment when you're called dad for the first time. Take us there for yourself, and how can we help a new dad
in your
conversation?
I think, so I was the first, I have two brothers, and I was the first of my two brothers, myself, of the three of us, to have a kid. So I can just kind of speak on what are some of the things that I told them kind of going into it? Cause it was not long after we had ours that they had theirs. And this is what I try to tell friends and buddies of mine as they go into the process, a couple things. One, in the moment, while you're like at the hospital and, your wife or significant other is giving birth, be there, like be present in that moment. Be involved, ask questions, advocate for her. And don't let the, I guess, biology of the situation gross you out or put any kind of fear into that situation. It is an absolutely amazing experience to get to see the woman that you love give birth to this new person that you now get to love as well. I was fortunate that I got to be right there by her. I got to cut the cord for both of my kids. And I've had a lot of dads that are like, were you involved in that? I couldn't do it. Or get there and be involved in the whole process. It's an amazing, beautiful thing. Like I said, the biological side of it, the things that we think might be gross or whatever, you don't even realize it's happening. All you focus on is she okay? And is the baby good? And just the amazingness of the first like scream, the first breath. Like you said, when you first have that realization of, holy crap, I'm a dad. It hits pretty heavy.
And that little gap in silence, right, from the time that the baby's born.
Oh, yeah.
And that first noise, you're just like holding your breath, like, is everything okay? And then you're looking at the doctors, you're watching the nurses, they're not reacting, so everything looks good. Like, I don't know what's good.
Yeah.
I have no idea if we're doing well here. And then you hear that first, and you're like, oh, it's such a great feeling.
For sure. No, yeah. So that, I would say, is the number one thing, is just be involved in the whole process. Ask questions. Be very intentional there. And then two, as you go through the first, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, year, whatever it is, there's a lot of things that I think we kind of take for granted as dads, that we don't have to be the ones that necessarily provide food. We don't. And I think mom ends up taking on a lot of the responsibility there. So one of the things that I always tell my friends and I told my brothers is, be involved in that. If she's up feeding, then get up and help. Do what you can. Be involved in that process and help her, because if you're just laying there sleeping and she's doing, like, she's already worn out, she's already tired, her body's still going through it. So any sort of support that you can be it. And then we'll get into my story of becoming a dad later, but don't take any poopy diaper or stacked up dish or a stacked up sink full of bottles for granted. Because there's a lot of people out there that want so badly to have a diaper to change and want so badly to have a mound of bottles to clean, that don't ever get to experience that. So for me, it was the approach of, yeah, I'll change a diaper and yeah, I'll clean the bottles, because I know what it felt like to not have that and to want it so badly. So just don't take those little things for granted, because they're eventually going to go away. And I have one that's going to be 3 here in about a week and one in a couple of days. And we just got his hair cut for the first time and he's growing up way too fast. And so I can remember, like I said, I mean, he was born in the middle of lockdown COVID, where I was the only one that could be in the room. Nobody else could come visit, which honestly kind of ended up being a little bit of a blessing, because it was like, we got to just be with us. We got to kind of savor that moment as a family and as a couple and really just enjoy that process together. But I can still see his face holding him for the first time and sitting there. And now he's this little boy running around, starting to mouth off and act like he's a teenager. But no, it's so just embrace those moments of getting thrown up on, getting pooped on, getting peed on, changing diapers, washing bottles. Yeah. It's a beautiful mess. And it's a mess that only lasts for a little while. So, embrace it and enjoy all of it.
Well, some advice I got when I was a first-time dad was, somebody pulled me aside and said, prepare yourself for your heart to beat outside of your body for the rest of your life. Because like now I'm an empty nester dad, three adult children. Do I know where they are right now? Have they had lunch? I have no idea.
Yeah.
They're at work. They're doing their thing.
Yeah.
They're not even all in the same city. Do I see them every day, every minute? No. And that weird feeling of, I miss the days as a dad where everyone was under one roof,
mm-hmm.
and I knew they were in their beds, and I could go to bed at night knowing everything's done and complete. The doors are locked. Everything's good. The lights are off. And if that safety feeling of having everyone under one roof is gone the moment they move out and pursue life.
Yeah.
And we're always on this. And I didn't know this early on in my dad's story, but I didn't realize that we're all on this journey of our children are going to leave us one day and we're going to be home without them. And I wish I had more time.
Yeah.
Because you have like 17 summers, 18 summers with your new child, and then they're going to be moving into adulthood.
Yeah.
And that's not a big number. 17?
No, it's really not.
That's not a big number, right?
No, and like I said, even just the last 3 years, it's amazing how fast it's flown by and the things that have happened. And we have another one that just turned one at the end of August, and she's a little spitfire and just an absolute, like we thought my son was like kind of wild and crazy. And when he'd play with his peers and stuff as they started to walk, and he's the one that's jumping off couches and just all into everything. And I'm like, why is my kid so much more active? And a lot of the other families that we were around, specifically one or two others, they had girls. And I was like, maybe he's just a boy. I don't have anything else to really judge it off of. And then we had my daughter and I was like, nope, it's just our kids. Like she's just as wild. She's just as active. We just have very active kids and not in a bad way. Like they're curious. I think my wife and I are both kind of the mindset that this is they have to learn the world. So we have to let them explore and make messes and do things that are not necessarily always, we're not going to put them in a bubble. We joke all the time when they fall down, we just say safe, like they slid at baseball practice or something. And we try to change the perspective of, oh, you fell down. Oh my gosh. Are you okay? To tricking them into thinking like, yeah, you're fine. Just get up and keep going. No, obviously you check to make sure that they really are okay if it was a bad spill, but, we were at the baseball field the other day watching a family member play baseball and my son took a pretty hard tumble on some concrete and he popped up and he was crying. And I said, and I told him, I was like, buddy, when you're running down a hill, sometimes you're going to lose your balance and fall over. Like that's part of learning it. I said, you got to be careful. I said, are you okay? And he kind of looked at it and he said, yeah, I'm okay. And you could tell he was hurting, but it's just that idea of like, I can hurt and fall down and be okay and get up and keep going. And I think that, it's never too early to teach them that. That's just part of life.
I can remember my kids falling down when they're young and then looking over their shoulder back to us. Like, was that supposed to hurt?
Yeah.
Am I hurt right now?
Yeah.
And if you jump and you're like, oh my gosh. And they're like, oh, then they start crying. Mm-hmm. But if they look at you and you're like, you're good. They're like, oh, okay. I guess that wasn't as bad as
I am good.
You know, okay, I'm fine.
No, yeah. So that's definitely the approach that we take 9 times out of 10. Now there are some times where you just have that knee jerk reaction as a parent of, oh my gosh, that looked bad. And then they look at you and see that in your eyes. And it's there's no real coming back from that. And so then it's just like, okay, well let's make sure they're good and we'll calm them down. But I completely understand the heart living outside of the chest situation. And right now I am in that stage of, I get to put them to bed every night and lock up and make sure everything's good. And we're in that kind of that safety net of our home. And, but there's even, I'll make wake up in the middle of the night and just look at the monitor.
Yeah.
They're both in the same room. So it doesn't take long for me to say, okay, go, they're both in their bed, but you have those moments where you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and they're on the other side of the house and it's just like, are they okay? Yeah. And especially when you first bring them home, like to go from sleeping and not ever having to worry about anything in the middle of the night to waking up to check every hour if they're still breathing, even though they're just laying in the crib sleeping, like that is one of the most surreal feelings. And for us, we had them in the room for a little while, and then we move them to their own room. And those first few nights of like them being in their own room, it's a walk across the house for us to even go check on them to see if they're good. So it was like the whole not sleeping thing definitely is a part of it for a while.
Yeah. And I can remember taking my son, my oldest, out, my firstborn, and you're being discharged from the hospital. You have all your stuff now. All of a sudden, you got a ton of stuff you never had before.
Yeah.
All of your hands are full. Your back is full. There's carts full of stuff. It's like, where did all this stuff come from, first mm-hmm. of all? And they're like, wow, we came in here, just the two of us. Now there's three of us and a U-Haul. So you're like going through the foyer to leave, go out to the car, and they wave goodbye. And you're like, is anybody coming with me? Because I've never done this before, and yes. I don't know what I'm doing.
But give me a manual. You didn't.
You all are just going to stay there and watch me leave?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to check to make sure I put him in the car properly? There's no one's following me to the car.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm on my own now.
Yeah.
And my youngest son just had a baby girl. So now I'm a grandfather.
Yeah.
And I'm in the hospital, and I'm watching these couples leave for the first time. And you can see the fear on their face. Like, oh my gosh, we're going home and all of the nurses are staying and I don't have any help.
Yeah.
And the husband looks exhausted. The wife looks like she's just, I want another week here, please. Can I just stay? Right. And you're watching them leave and you're like, what a joyous moment, though.
Know
that a brand new family unit is there. And again, the moment you go from two people to three, and then, oh, if you have twins and triplets, my gosh, I have no idea how you do that. But you have a new family.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I sat there in the waiting room watching people leave, you know, going home for the first time and reliving that in my brain going, I didn't know anything about being a dad.
Yeah.
I did not know what I did not know. And there was a lot I didn't know. For you, what are you learning right at this stage of your dad story?
Oh, gosh. Right now, I think for me, it's like just the patience and the being able to handle one, like there's two of them. So that it's a little bit different in that sense. They're both in very different stages. Our daughter is walking. She's getting around really well now. She's about 14 months. So she's at that, and she's been walking since she was 10 months. So she's moving well now and wants to be involved. She wants to play. She wants to try and keep up with her big brother. And there's days that he's really sweet and he tries to like play with her and do stuff. But there's times where it's just like, he just wants his own space and she's just getting into everything that he has. And so trying to figure out and work through that process of teaching him how to be good to his sister and how to be kind to his sister and allow her to play, but also allowing him to have some of his own space and have some of that freedom of I get to play with my own things and that kind of thing. And then the discipline piece of not losing it because he's being an absolute turd. A lot of it too is like, I can take a lot. I can, when he speaks to me a certain way, I'll pull him aside. We'll have conversations and I can move past it. But when a lot of the times that bothers me the most is when he speaks to his mom some type of way. And when he tells mom things like, I don't like you or just doesn't want to have anything to do with her, because I know how that makes her feel. And I want my first and foremost job is to protect my wife. I have to pull him aside and just be like, that's not okay. You can't speak to mom that way. And for an almost 3-year-old, like he's starting to get it. So you see these moments of like, he's pushing it as far as he can to see what he's able to get away with. But I also have those moments where like, you can tell he understands. And and he's really well mannered. I will say, like, as much as he can be all over the place and sometimes cut us deep, he uses his thank yous, he uses his pleases, he uses his sorry, like he communicates really well for a 2-year-old, almost 3-year-old. And so, like, there's times when I look at him and I'm like, do you understand what I'm saying? And you can tell just by the way he looks at you, like, yeah, I get it. And
yeah.
So figuring out, like, when is it that he's with it? When is it that he understands it? And when this is just something that he can't quite understand yet.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at in the learning process of how do I communicate with him in a way that he understands and it works well for him. Another thing is, like, what discipline works and what sticks, because depending on your approach and the way you look at it, people do different things. And for him, like, even when we elevate our voice in just in tone, like, he's very sensitive to the tone of our voice. So if my wife and I are having a discussion, and not enough necessarily an argument, but just a discussion where our tone gets louder because we're excited about something, there's moments when he'll be like, you can't talk to each other like that. And I'm like, did my 3-year-old just tell me I can't, like, right, it's the tone of my voice? Like, so he's very sensitive to the tone. And, but it's also one of those things where, as a dad and having a son, I want to make sure that I set a good example of how I speak to my wife, how I speak to him and his sister, so that he doesn't experience those things in the negative light and he learns to speak to people the right way. Ultimately, I want to be the example that he can look up to say, yeah, I can be like my dad, and that's a good thing. And so just being really intentional about the way that we use our words and the way that we go about the way we do things, and including him in things and making sure that he understands what's going on. The other thing that I've learned recently with him is, like, consistency and the sense of time. He's understanding a sense of time and consistency, and, like, using a timer works really well for him. So, hey buddy, we're going to do 2 more minutes of this and then we're going to put it away. So when the timer goes off, what are we going to do? And he'll tell you, okay, we're going to put, and instead of just like, hey bud, put it away now, but kind of giving him that prompting, it's made, like, massive improvements.
That's smart.
Yeah. Like, so that's something that we've had to learn and figure out. And not every kid, it's not going to work for every kid.
Right.
It's just not. Some kids, you tell them, yeah, put it away, and they're like, okay, cool. And now he gets to a point where he's like, he's starting to negotiate time. It's hilarious. Okay. For a 3-year-old, that I'll tell him, hey, you got 3 minutes. And he's like, no, 1 minute. And I'm like, you're a terrible negotiator, dude. You just chopped your time in the third. And I like, but it's just because he doesn't understand. But it's those moments too, where you just kind of laugh. You have to sit back and laugh. And there's some things, he'll say things where it's like, I know he doesn't mean it. He doesn't understand what he's saying. And you just have to kind of sit back and laugh and go, he's 2. He doesn't get it.
Yeah. The whole idea around discipline, and I picked this up from another dad, so it's not mine. I can't take credit for this, but it relates back to your football days.
Mm-hmm.
And if you missed a play or something happened on the field and your coach wasn't happy with you, he gave you a task to do to kind of remind you that you need to make that play, you need to show up. So you're either going to do some laps, you're going to do something. But in that discipline moment, basically is happening on the field, is he's giving you a task that makes you better.
Yeah.
So you're going to run better because you've ran laps because you missed whatever happened. So everything that your coach gave you to do as a technically a form of punishment was a way that made you stronger player.
Yeah.
So you can run faster and run further because you've made lots of mistakes and you did a lot of laps.
Yeah.
So as parents, make sure that when you're disciplining, that the discipline makes your child better.
Correct.
You're not just taking something away, but you're giving them an opportunity to improve. So giving them some kind of thing that makes them a better human, to whatever that works for you and your family. But don't just be all about removing things from people, removing them from your children, but doing something that makes them a better player on the field or a better kid in your home.
Yeah.
Make sure your discipline is linked to something that makes them better.
That's I think a lot of the times we look at discipline as it has to be like this negative thing because we think of discipline. But when you look at it in a sense of like having disciplines or for someone to be a disciplined person is a good thing.
Yeah.
So creating space for them to be disciplined people and not it being a, oh, discipline means punishment or discipline means I'm coming down on you on something. No, I'm giving you the guidance and the instruction to grow and to be better. And that's what discipline is. It's walking through that process. And I mean, discipling through the process of how do we grow? How do we get better?
And it's an element of trust.
Yeah.
Right. Between you and your kids and your kids and you. There's a story I've shared on this podcast way in the past where there's a child playing underneath a tree and the dad sees a snake lowering itself from the tree above towards his son. And in that moment, he just said, on the ground. And the kid didn't go, I don't want to go on the ground. The kid just dropped on the ground instantly. And because the father could see danger that his son couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, there was that element of, I've built trust over the years with my son that when I say something, my son does it and doesn't ask why, because we've built that relationship.
Yeah.
And the father was able to take care of the situation. Everything's fine. But in that moment, there was no negotiation. It was dad said it, I do it.
Yeah.
And there was a trust there.
We've started to work on that with our son of like playing, if we're playing in the front yard and something happens or a car's coming down the street. And if I say stop, that means like not when you feel like it, it means not.
Yeah.
That means in that moment, I see something that you don't see. You need to stop and come back to me or stay right where you are. And then I'll explain why I had you stop in a minute. But I'm not saying, hey, stop when you have a chance. It is like there's imminent danger. I want you to stop immediately. Mm-hmm. And he's getting better at it, but it takes time. And like you said, trust, you have to build the trust. I can't just constantly be yelling at him to stop.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, well, nothing happened. So why am I stopping?
Yeah.
But if it's like, oh, I saw that car fly by, dad just saved me from that car, or whatever it is, like then there's those elements of, okay, I know when he says it, it means something. I definitely think building the trust with them is massive.
Yeah. I can remember too, like when my kids were small, and it's me out alone with my two kids at the time, that now there's more than them than there's me. So now I have to balance my time between the two of them. So I would get my son out of the car in a busy parking lot at the mall or at the store or whatever, cars whizzing by, busyness. And I'm like, how do I keep my eye on my son while I'm reaching into the car to get my daughter?
Yeah.
I can't be two places at once. So, and it's interesting because it still comes back to me. In the moment, I taught my son to put his hand on the gas cap outside the car.
Okay.
And he's not allowed to take his hand off until I tell him to.
Yeah.
So he's standing outside the car. I can't see him, but his hand's on the gas cap. And that was a special spot. And his hand just stayed there until I was ready to let him go. So I know he's not going to duck out into traffic. He's not going to walk around the car. He's going to stand right beside me, even though I can't see him. So every time I go to put gas in my car now, I think of my three kids.
Yeah.
And that was their spot. Their hand would go on the swan there while dad's busy doing something else, getting my daughter out of the car seat.
Yeah.
I knew my son was standing there. So it's interesting. Like in the moment, you just have to be creative and come up with these little things that work for you. But then the reminder comes back.
Yeah.
When your kids are 27 and you go to put gas in the car, you're like, oh, I missed the days with my son. That was his spot, man. He was the only handprint. And then you'd see the car would be dirty and there'd be this little handprint on the car. And you go out to work in the morning and you're like, oh, my son, my daughter, I love him. You know, like it's interesting how you just kind of come up with these things.
For sure. No, that's parenting, man, is you come up with stuff on the fly and you have to adjust. And I think there's that idea of continual growth. They're growing and you're growing with them. And you have to go back and look at, did I handle that situation well? And how could I have done a better job for my kids so that next time it comes up? And I think too, one of the things that I found is like, there's moments when I'm wrong. There's moments when I screw it up. and being able to go to my kids and say, you know what, I was wrong. I messed that up. And I'm sorry, because I could have been a better dad in that moment. I think that's huge. You have to be able to do that and set that example, because ultimately they're going to have a situation where they screw something up and they need to be able to see that it's okay to come to you and say, Dad, I messed up. And for you to say, it's okay. I screw up too sometimes. Let's figure out how we fix it and let's move forward. And I think that that's something that you work on when they're little and instill when they're little, and it creates a space for them to be able to, when they become teenagers and the stakes are a little bit higher. When they do screw up, you create a space for them to be able to come to you instead of go to somebody else.
Yeah. I love it. Any other dad advice from your perspective that maybe a listener who's either a new dad, like we talked about, your friend's going to be having a baby soon, or someone maybe with kids, 3 and 1, anything else that we can kind of put in front of them to kind of inspire them to be the best dad you can be?
I think for me, one of the big things is you're not going to get it right the first time.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And you're not going to mess your kid up when you don't get it right the first time, but every kid's different. So don't look at, oh, well, that kid does this, so my kid should be able. That's not how it works.
No.
Every kid's different. I'm learning that now with having two, like they're both from my wife and I, but they're both very, very different. Yeah. And so it's a whole new learning process with my daughter. Things that worked with my son, they don't work with my daughter, or things that work with her don't work with him. And they like different things. They play different ways. You can give my son a couple of monster trucks and he's good for hours. right. And that's how he's been since he was really little. Like he liked a bat and a ball, or like he had like specific things that he always, but with her, she's a little bit more of like a tinkerer and she wants to have multiple toys out and have a little bit more stimulation and be able to go from one thing to the next and do that. And it would just overwhelm him and he would just sit there and do nothing if you had too much stuff out. That's just an example, but they're never the same. You can read all the books you want and they're not going to give you the situations that are going to happen.
Yeah.
They're great. And there's some things, but then things are going to come up and they're going to contradict whatever they said in that book. And it's okay.
Yeah. And that's kind of the reason why I created the podcast, was I wanted to have an audio version of this for dads. Maybe yeah. They're sitting in the waiting room of the hospital this week. They're listening to this. They're completely unprepared. They're going to go into the labor and delivery room and they're like, I'm freaking out, man. I have no idea. Cause yeah. I know the doctor looked at me in that moment and said, just so you know, we don't care about you. So if you pass out, there's no one here for you. We're focused on your wife. So you, just so you know, I'm just letting you know ahead of time,
yeah.
You know, you're not important. And I'm like, well, that made me feel good.
Right.
But if you faint, you faint. We'll get to you later.
Yeah, we'll check your guidance, and I'm like, we'll come back to you when we
have Yeah. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
But you're good. And I think that's the reason why I wanted the podcast is in that moment, I didn't want dads to think that you're on your own. Back to the doctor, you know,
yeah.
You pass out, you're on your own. I wanted to create a space in dad's space for dads to hear other dad's stories and to learn from other dads and go, okay, so I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
I'm not alone walking out to the car with all this baby stuff I had now have inherited and I'm on my way home for the first time. There's somebody out there that can speak to me and I can learn from another dad and I can maybe start at a different spot than maybe I feel like I'm starting at.
Yeah.
Just by listening to you. So I appreciate you coming on to do this.
Yeah. And I think that part of our story and part of my story of becoming a dad can speak to that a little bit in the sense of it took us a long time to get pregnant. And we wanted to wait when we first got married and we wanted to be able to explore the world and do things on our own and grow together. We got married when we were 21. We're still in college. And so it's like we were in no rush to have kids, but we got to a point where we did want to have kids. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, we're a year and a half, almost 2 years into trying to have kids and friends around us were having kids. And it was like, what's wrong with us? Why doesn't this work? Why can't we have a kid? And so I dealt with that in that space of one, what's wrong with me as a man, or what's wrong with me as a husband, or what am I not doing right to where I can't have this? I've wanted to be a dad for a long time. And so it started to get to that point of like, okay, what is going on? And then also trying to work with but trying to comfort my wife in that space of it's not happening and it's happening for others. And there's all sorts of things going on. And then we dealt with pregnancy loss early on. And that was a space for me that I felt like as a man, like that was a space where I didn't really feel like there was a ton of people that I could talk to. There's not a large community of dads or men out there that are speaking on those things. So just to be able to kind of bring some light to that process, and that's not easy to go through. It's not something that is easier on either side of that. I think just being realistic, I think it was probably harder on my wife because there's the biological aspect and the fact that the baby's being born, being grown in her and the connection there, but I'm also part of that. And we went through a really, really tough part of our relationship and a part of our marriage and our lives that we felt very alone and felt like we didn't have anybody to really reach out to and to go through this process with. And as a husband, I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to support her through that. And luckily we have amazing people around us. And as we started to kind of open up and tell what was going on, we had some people that surrounded us and walked us through that and we grew through that. And then we were able to get pregnant and have our son. And, the crazy thing is looking back on it now, like I said, I couldn't see it any other way. But I think that's important to create spaces like this where, dads can come on and speak to those types of things and tell their story in that sense, because it's not something that's super readily available. A lot of the parenting topic, if you're on TikTok or if you're on Instagram or just in social media in general and in the world, a lot of that falls on the mom. And a lot of it is focused on moms. And even my buddy that we were talking on the other day, and he's had people, because he's looking at, well, if we're going to have kids, like maybe we need a bigger vehicle to be able to like have a family size vehicle. And that's something that we recently went through and upgraded from a midsize to a big SUV, because I'm a big guy and I don't fit in a midsize SUV with a car seat behind me. Like it just doesn't work. So he was kind of asking me some questions. And one of the things that he mentioned was like, well, everybody keeps saying I need to buy my wife a new car because she's going to be the one that is taking the kid and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, that's not the way our life is going to work. I work from home. I'm an entrepreneur. Like I'm going to have them. She's a working mom. And that's how my wife is a working mom. Like and I'm the one that's dropping off, picking up, doing things. Yeah. Like, that primarily falls on me, which is great. But I think that there's a stigma and a perspective out there that's mom's job. And that there's dads out there that it is their job, but we don't really have a community to go to and say, yeah, that's part of what I do. That's who I am. That's part of being a dad. Like this isn't mom takes care of the kids, and that's not how society really works anymore. But I think there's a lot of people that kind of are stuck in that and they pigeonhole people into those roles. So I think it's important to have those conversations too, of like the family unit isn't always what we think it's going to look like. And it's funny too, cause like, even when I go to what we were going through the process of moving kids from school to school and daycare to daycare and things like that. And they were like, well, take the paperwork home and mom can fill it out and bring it back. And I'm like, no, she's working. Like I'm taking this on. This is my responsibility to make sure that the daycare looks good and that this is a safe place for my kids. And it threw people off. Like, they were like, wait, we don't see this very often. I mean, I can't tell you how many times my drop off and pickup routine and the people that I see, it's very rare that I see another dad dropping up.
Exactly.
And going through that process. And, but they're out there. And I think that it's important for us to realize that it's not a negative thing. It's not weird. It's not different. It's just, that's the way your family structure is set up. Yeah. And that's perfectly okay. And that's why I said earlier, I think I have a different perspective on maybe a lot of this stuff because I'm not a traditionalist when it comes to that. Like I very much am. I do a lot of the cooking and cleaning in our house because that's what I'm good at. And that's what I like doing. And I take care of a lot of those things, but I also understand that like, especially right now in this season with us, I'm running a nonprofit and my wife is working and she has a physical job that she goes to from 8 to 5 every day. And my schedule is a lot more flexible and I'm able to do a lot of these things. So I'm doing the role of, like I said, drop off, pick up, cook dinner, grocery shopping, things that you would traditionally, a lot of people are like, will say, make comments. And my wife's like, no, Brian does that.
Nice.
I think, there's a space for this and for, and I love being a part of the conversation of like being a dad doesn't have to look like what the world says being a dad looks like.
Right.
So I don't know that hopefully that is encouraging or is helpful to dad out there because I'm passionate about that. And I think that that's part of my journey as far as like sharing my story and it's going to be a big part of as I write my book. And as I go through this process of writing of like encouraging dads and encouraging husbands that it doesn't have to look the way that everybody else thinks it should look.
Yeah. And that ties in as well with your podcast.
Yeah.
As we close off, Brian, tell us a little bit more about the podcast and where we can find you on social media, wherever you want us to go. But
yeah,
I'm sure there's dads that want to reconnect with you and carry on the conversation, maybe talk football. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm down with whatever. So just a couple things. So our podcast is At the Table. Like you said, at the time of recording right now, we haven't launched the first episode, but that's in the works and we'll let you know what that is. And I'll update you with website information and social media information on that.
Good.
But the idea behind it is to create a space for families. My wife and I are literally just sitting at our dining room table, having conversations about what it looks like to be a family, what it looks like to parent, the family structure and the way that you see it, what family means to you and how it's shaped who you are, and just share your story as a family, whether that's what family was for you growing up or what family is to you now and how your family became what it was, or maybe there's a lot of heartbreak and there's a breaking of the family and what that looks like and how you've dealt with that. So anything in that family space, is what we're really hoping to create a space to share and to be able to, give people a spot to share their stories in, because I think when you build a community of storytelling, then people that are dealing with what you've dealt with have a place to go and say, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
And ultimately that's what we want to do is create a community where we can connect those people and walk through that with people. So like I said, I'll update when we have more information on that. But as far as my journey, like we said earlier, you can go check us out at welovehtx.com. I also have, my blog is just my full name, brianjusticeteague.com. I'm on Instagram and TikTok and everything else, as Justice Teague. So that's my middle name and my last name. So JustasTeague. And I share about what we're doing as a family, how things are going, just my thoughts on life and parenting and my faith. And, that's also a place where you can kind of like find my links to everything that we're doing. So, the podcast will be there. The website for the nonprofit is there and all that stuff will be right there on my social media. So if you want to go check
it out, love it. I love it. Right, thank you.
Reach out. I'd love to walk through this with anybody, answer questions. This is what I'm passionate about. This is what I do. So I'm here for it.
Amazing. Looking forward to the podcast. Looking forward to many great updates in the future as well.
Yeah.
And as the kids get bigger, you know, hey, come back in the future and let's have another dad story conversation. And to your friend that's going to be having a baby soon, our thoughts are with them as well as they're celebrating this new chapter in their life. So, Brian, thank you so much for being on Dad Space.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dave. It's been awesome.
Awesome. Everyone, all the information in the show notes. Make sure you go over and support Brian, his amazing charity, helping many, many people and a new podcast. I'm sure there's ways that you can be either a guest or support financially. There's all kinds of ways you can help.
Yeah.
So, Brian, thank you so much for doing this. It's great.
Thanks.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for listening to Dad Space today. I'm so thankful that you were here for this episode. If you like the show, please let another dad know. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyways, share the episode out with somebody in your circle who would love Dad Space. That means so much to us here for our guests who donate their time to be on the show. And we just want to see this grow. So, again, another rhyme. Oh, wow. Anyhow, I think I need to write a song or something. Thank you for being here with Dad Space. And again, looking forward to the next episode. Look forward to having you here again with us. And if we can help you in any way, if you have a great guest idea for the show, a topic that you would love us to cover, we would love to do that here on Dad Space. So thanks for listening and thanks for being part of the community. And to you, Dad, thank you for listening. And thank you for sharing Dad Space. Catch you on the next one. Take care.